Well, as we come to God's Word this morning, we're going to read, actually, we haven't quite got away from Colossians, so I think this is probably our last message from Colossians just for a little while, but we're back to Colossians, and I want to read a few verses from chapter 2, and then the last verse of the letter, which is really our text this morning. So Colossians chapter 2, and reading verses 6 to 10. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. And then if you glance over the very last verse of this book, the very last thing that Paul wrote with his own hand, Colossians 4, verse 18. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. Well, do keep your Bible open at that verse as we think about it this morning, and as we come back to this book of Colossians. We've worked our way through it, and there was another sermon in my soul from it, so that's why we're back at it this morning. Closing words can be loaded and very weighty and full of meaning. To put it very simple, closing words can be really important. And such is the case here for the closing words of this letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Colossae, in that little part of southwestern Turkey as we know it today. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains, grace be with you. And that's the text that I want us to think about this morning, just for a little while. And by way of thinking about that, I just want to say something, and some of these things I will have said before, but I just want to set this closing verse in its context. Colossians is really a book about the fullness that is in Jesus Christ. Without going over all the things that we have said before, the very reason that this letter came into existence under God was because there were those within that little church in Colossae, wherever they had come from, and they were trying to take away from the fullness of Jesus. They were actually pulling Jesus down and lifting other things up, as still happens today. They were pulling Jesus down and they were lifting angels up. They were lifting some special experience for the chosen few up. And these things were being put into a place that really took away from the sufficiency and from the supremacy of Christ. And I have quoted those words a number of times, that in the Christian life, that the surest preventative against all deviations from the Christian experience is a full experience of the fullness of Christ. And the challenge that is brought by this apostolic letter is for each of us, for each person today, if they know Christ in a saving way, to have an experience of his fullness, to have an experience of the fullness that is found in Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul says, and we read it there in Colossians 2, verse 10, that you have been given fullness in Christ. You actually don't need anything else. You don't need anything other than what you have. When you have Christ, you have all that you need. Go on with him. Grow to know him. Mature in him. Go deeper into him. And that's essentially the gospel message for those who are Christ's. How do you and I face the pressures and the challenges of this world? Well, it's by having Christ in our hearts. So that really sets the context. But let me just bring you to the heart of what I want to say today, because the fullness and the fetters, and really this last little phrase that Paul uses, is very, very telling. It's one of those verses you could read it and almost not really dwell and think about what it's saying. Remember my chains. I'm using the word fetters. It's the same thing. And I want you to see this morning, folks, and there's something really vital here, that this was Paul's experience. The fullness and the fetters. The fullness and the chains. Paul speaks here of the fullness and the glory and the wonder of Jesus Christ. And he's the preacher when he's going that way. And he is speaking and commending to a lost world the wonders of Jesus Christ, who lived and who died and who rose again and who ascended into heaven and who's coming back. And yet Paul, where was he? He was imprisoned. He was in chains. He was not free to go as he wished. And so Colossians, if you like, is the epistle of the fetters and the fullness. It's the epistle of the limitation of circumstances and yet the unlimited resources of power that are in Jesus Christ. And again, it's interesting, folks, that this is not the only part of the New Testament that speaks about this. I'm not going to dwell on this, but if you go to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians is a letter that could be summarized with the words, strength through weakness. Strength through weakness. Suffering and glory. And it's interesting that already in the service we've heard a verse from 2 Corinthians quoted. Paul says we have this treasure in jars of clay. Do you see the contrast? A jar of clay is a very vulnerable thing. It's a thing that's easily broken, easily damaged. And yet in the midst of it, there is this treasure. Paul speaks in that letter of 2 Corinthians of the weaknesses and the insults and the hardships and the afflictions and the persecutions. And then he says, for when I am weak, then I am strong. So folks, this was Paul's experience. But here's the thing. This is to be our experience. You and I this morning, you may not have metal shackles on your limbs, but you may have other fetters, struggles, trials, hardships, sickness, disappointments, times when you feel that you're not able to cope with life. We do not subscribe in the Reformed Church to the so-called health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. Actually, we believe it to be a false gospel. One day, ultimately, the health and the wealth and the prosperity will be ours in Christ. But not yet. Because in the scriptures, we see that very, very clearly. The Apostle Paul didn't know much of a health and wealth and prosperity gospel. He was imprisoned. And then he was killed. But he had the glory in his heart. He had Christ in his soul. He had this treasure in a jar of clay, which was so quickly and so soon going to be broken. We all want, don't we, to have the power and the glory. But we all, I say to you this morning as your pastor, we all have to face the suffering. And a proper understanding and a proper and balanced theology of these things is essential, I believe, for the contemporary church and for the witness and for the credibility of the gospel in a world which is suffering so deeply. That we can go into that world with all its pain and all its suffering and all its distress and point to one, the Lord Jesus, who also knew the fetters and the chains and the cross. But it's the way of the cross that leads home. So never, ever forget this, folks. Some of you will know the name of Isabel Kuhn. A little book here, Isabel Kuhn. And if you're thinking of buying somebody a Christian book for Christmas and you're scratching your head and you're saying, what could I buy them? Have you heard of Isabel Kuhn? I commend her books to you. She was a Canadian missionary. Some of you will know of Isabel Kuhn. She was a Canadian missionary to the Far East. And it's interesting that in this little book, just one of her books, it's entitled In the Arena. Let me read you the title of the chapters. Obstacles. Uncongenial work. Secret choices. Frustrations. Extinguished candle flames. Small harassments. Taut nerves, seeming defeat, between the scissors knives, stranded at world's end, dread disease. You're saying to me, Stephen, that doesn't really lift the spirits in the middle of a Sunday afternoon. And I say to you, that's life. That's the Christian life. And yet in the midst of all of that, the glory, the fullness, the majesty, the wonder of Christ. You know, the wonderful thing is, Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you. I wonder, do you see that this morning? I wonder, do you see that? Could it be that you're here and you're, if truth be told, a little disappointed with some aspect of the Christian experience, because actually you were thinking it was all going to be the fullness and the glory. And the fetters have come. The sickness has come. The cancer has come. The profound disappointment has come. Remember my chains, says Paul. But my grace is sufficient. Do you see that this morning? What was going to sustain Paul with his chains? You see, this is the point of what I'm trying to draw to your attention. The chains do not have the final word. He says, remember my chains. And then he doesn't finish there. That's the thing. That's the point. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. That's the wonder of it. The chains do not have the final word. Praise God. Grace has the final word. Praise God. And what is it that will sustain you when the fetters are on you? What is it that will deliver you from being full of self-pity or becoming embittered because of how life has gone? I had so many dreams, Lord, and now look at what's happened. You can easily go down the road of self-pity at that point. You can easily go round the road of being embittered against God, secretly angry against God. Why, God? Why? Don't allow that to happen. The chains are there, folks, yes, but grace. Let grace be your final word. And the last thing I want to draw to your attention is this, and I've just put it under this heading. The fullness that cannot be fettered. You see, again, this was Paul's experience, and I've touched on this, and I don't need to go over it again. The chains were there. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. And he's sending out a message to the people who were receiving this. Yes, I'm in chains, folks. But may the grace of God that I'm experiencing be with you also. Isn't that wonderful? It is absolutely glorious. You see, the fullness that cannot be fettered. Paul was able to be put in chains. He was fettered. But the treasure within him was not fettered. And you may go through very difficult circumstances. And you may be fettered in that sense. But Christ is not fettered in your heart. And you know, let me just say this to you. This was the early church experience. Think about this. Think of how this was illustrated in the relationship between the church and the Roman Empire. Listen to this, folks. Rome, the Roman Empire. And sometimes people romanticize about Rome and the Roman Empire. It was cruel and bloody. And Rome sought to break the church. Rome sought to crush the church of Jesus Christ. But you know what? The more Rome persecuted, the more Rome fed the Christians to the wild beasts in the amphitheaters, the more the church grew. You see, the fullness could not be fettered. And folks, this is to be our experience as well. The Christ within us cannot be fettered. Someone may be in prison or under some sense of handicap or ill health or sense of profound disappointment or hurt. But these things cannot fetter the Christ, the hope of glory, who is in our hearts. And tonight, God willing, we will close our service with that wonderful hymn that bears the words, though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. And folks, this is to be our experience, not only in an individual sense, but in a much broader sense. And let me say something to you at this point that I believe is a word from God. A word for today. Rome could not break the church in the first century. Nor will an aggressive secularism and pluralism break the church in the 21st century. Those things may prune the church, purify the church, but never break the church. Why? Because the fullness cannot be fettered. The chains that were on Paul could not stop him from continuing to preach the Christ and the grace. Paul's final word is not about the chains or the fetters. It's about grace. And so, folks, that is essentially what I leave with you today. This letter literally begins with grace and ends with grace. The Bible ends with the message of grace. Did you know that? Revelation 22 and 21, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Amen. That's it. And folks, the amazing grace of Jesus Christ, when we experience that, when we come personally to repent and believe the gospel, when we come to see that Christianity is not about religion or going through a ritual, even a Presbyterian ritual, good as that might be. It's not about that. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's about experiencing the amazing grace of God in the one who died and who rose again for our salvation, who shed his blood that we might be saved, that we might be converted unto God. And when we enter into that experience, what we're saying today is that life will not always be a bed of roses. It will not always be plain sailing. The fetters will come. They will come. But the grace will sustain you. The grace will have the final word. Grace will be the final word. And the word that will lead you through the chains and through the fetters to experience the fullness, even in the midst of the struggles and the trials of life. You see, God is faithful, and we're going to sing about that. God is utterly faithful to those who lean hard upon him. Is that your experience? I trust it is, and I commend to you today this word, the fullness and the fetters, but the wonder that the fullness of Christ cannot and will not be fettered. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we thank you for the wonder of this closing word from Paul, the chains, the fetters, the struggles, the problems, and yet that final word, grace be with you. Grace be with you. Lord, may that be our experience. In our own hearts, in our own lives, in our own homes, in our communities, and ultimately in this challenging age in which we live. And we ask our prayer in the Saviour's name. Amen.